reviewing the February 2018 Watchtower Study Edition for the week of April 2nd through 8th. This is the JW Review. So my apologies for missing last week's review. If you want to see that review, I'd recommend going to MiletiVivlon.com. And Mileti always has a weekly review there. He's also doing a podcast version of it as well, which is really great. So I'm always going to push Mileti stuff. His content is great. We would disagree on a lot of stuff, but I don't find those disagreements coming up too often. So I'm typically going to recommend his material. So I definitely would recommend you checking out his stuff, regardless of whether I miss a week or not. His stuff is excellent. So check him out, and we're going to start this review in the article. This is the first article of this Watchtower. It's Imitate the Faith and Obedience of Noah, Daniel, and Job. So just by way of introduction, if you don't know who I am, if this is the first time that you're joining us, my name is Mike Felker, and I am not a ex-Jehovah's Witness. I never have been a Jehovah's Witness. I've never been close to becoming a Jehovah's Witness. So basically, I'm just a guy, a Christian who is reviewing a Watchtower material from a outsider's perspective. So you're going to get some different insights from me than you would get from an ex-Jehovah's Witness like Mileti Vivlon. His name is also Eric Wilson. Mileti Vivlon is just a nick, but that's his name. So this review, I think, is going to be pretty short. There is a lot of stuff that I was kind of thinking of getting into, but I just decided not to go into that direction because this article is just so focused in on obedience, which that's okay. It's great for a Christian to focus in on obedience, but you never want to, as a Christian, give off the impression that you are pushing obedience as a means of salvation. So I don't want to say that's what the Watchtower is necessarily trying to do, but that's just really how it comes across, because they didn't really qualify it. See? So I'm not going to really get into that right here. I would just recommend you kind of read through it and just draw your own conclusions on the matter. I will touch on it briefly right here because when we go into paragraph 3, it says, likewise today, only those whom Jehovah considers blameless, people like Noah, Daniel, and Job, will be marked for survival when the present system of things comes to an end. And the quote here, Revelation 7, 9, and 14. And it says, so let us consider why Jehovah used those men as examples of righteousness. So, and they talk about the challenges these men face and how we can imitate their faith and obedience. And that's all fine and well, but read between the lines here. Because they quote Revelation 7, 9, and 14. So let's read those two. And this is right after John talks about the 144,000. He says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, and palm branches were in their hands. Now let's go to 7:14. I said to him, my Lord, you know. And he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. For this reason they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will spread his tabernacle over them. When you read this account in Revelation, I mean, let's just put the whole chapter of Revelation 7 in there, do you get the impression that their obedience was the focus here? That they're standing before the throne of God because they were obedient. Now, it's not that they weren't obedient. That's not what we're trying to say here. But what I am saying is that the basis for which they can stand before the throne of God, innocent, blameless, that's because of what Christ had done for them. It's not because they were obedient. That's not the basis for which you can stand before the throne of God. If it's all on the basis of your obedience, then I want you to turn over to Isaiah chapter 6. Read that account to where Isaiah stands before the throne, which, by the way, he's actually standing before Jesus, as John 12:41 says, but I digress. Isaiah stood before the throne of God, and you know what he thought? He said, "Woe is me, I am a man of unclean lips." So Isaiah was humbled in that case. So that's just not how you can stand before the throne of God blameless, because if it's based on your obedience, everyone is going to fail, and you will be judged accordingly. So I hope that you could stand before the throne along with me and say that the only reason I can stand before the throne of God is because of what Christ has done in my behalf. He lived a perfect life, and that perfection, that righteousness, has been imputed to me. And he died a death that I deserved. And that sacrifice was applied to me so that Christ bore the penalty for my sins. And he was resurrected. And that resurrection also applies to me so that I will be resurrected by the same power. Now, you'll notice here, the Watchtower doesn't put any of that into perspective. You'll read paragraph 3. And you'll just think that this is just talking about obedience. So I said I wasn't going to get into this. I ended up getting into it. So let's go on to paragraph 10. It says, let's just read the whole paragraph. "But what about you personally? Will you keep walking with God even when others mock or criticize you, or when economic pressures test your faith in your provider? If you imitate the faith and obedience of Noah, you can be confident that Jehovah will take care of you." So they quote here Philippians 4, 6 through 7, and they've quoted this this verse a number of times. I pointed this out, and they seem to leave out one very important part. Let's read it. Philippians 4, 6, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So it says here that in the paragraph that Jehovah will care for you, which is true, but it says that your hearts and minds are guarded in Christ Jesus. So really, it's Jesus Christ who's going to take care of you. But the Watchtower doesn't say that. Why not? Shifting drastically to a different topic, let's look at paragraph 12. It says, "A more subtle challenge for Daniel could have involved his exceptional abilities, which led to his receiving special privileges. But instead of becoming arrogant and opinionated, he remained humble and modest, always giving due credit to Jehovah. In fact, it was while Daniel was still a young man that Jehovah counted him worthy of being mentioned as an example of righteousness, along with Noah and Job. Was God's confidence in Daniel misplaced? Not at all. Daniel stayed faithful and obedient to the very end of his life. Indeed, he was likely in his late 90s when God's angel warmly said to him, 'O Daniel, you very precious man.'" Paragraph 13. "As a result of divine favor, Daniel was made a high official under Babylonian and Medo-Persian rule." What's so interesting about this is the context you would place this in relation to the Watchtower's policy regarding political involvement in political neutrality. Everyone watching this just about probably knows full well that if you were to take a political position similar to what Daniel did and you didn't repent of that, you would be disfellowshipped in a heartbeat. You'd be before a judicial committee and they would tell you to stop that association. And if you didn't do that, you would be disfellowshipped and you would be shunned and none of your family or friends would talk to you ever again until you repented. But yet Daniel is commended for what he did, and make no mistake, Daniel was very, very politically involved, and you could even use Joseph as another example, and there's all these other examples all throughout the scriptures. You can even think about some of the Roman centurions in the New Testament scriptures. But we're looking at Daniel here. So why is it that Daniel could be this heavily involved in politics? And that's okay. But a Jehovah's Witness today couldn't even come close to doing that without being disfellowshipped. So I've never actually seen a Watchtower response to this, how Daniel could be politically involved, and that's okay, but a Jehovah's Witness today can't do that. So it just seems to me that there is a double standard in operation here. And this is irrespective of whether you think political involvement is right or wrong. I'm not even, in this case, even arguing that. I'm just arguing about the Watchtower standards in this matter. So I've never actually seen a Jehovah's Witness respond to this and say how this is not a double standard. So if you have a response or some links to Watchtowers and how they address this, I would be really curious to know. So moving on to our last point here, this is in paragraph 21. Although Noah, Daniel, and Job lived at various times and under very different circumstances, they endured the challenges they faced. Their life stories call to mind the words of the Apostle Peter, who wrote, "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all undeserved kindness will himself finish your training. He will make you firm, he will make you strong, he will firmly ground you." So every Jehovah's Witness just about is just going to read this and they're just going to move on. You'll notice here three little dots in between, in the middle of this verse. Now, they quoted a large chunk of words here. So they weren't just trying to be brief. It's one thing when you're just quoting four or five words out of a verse that's maybe 20 words long, right? And you're doing that just to make a very specific point. And then you'll kind of leave off the words that aren't really reinforcing that point. There's some times where that's okay, right? I want to give the benefit of the doubt. But here, they quoted quite a number of words, and they left out some words. So I think we need to look and see what this verse is actually saying. And if you've been listening or watching my podcast for some time, you probably know where I'm going with this. Let's read the whole verse and let's see what the Watchtower leaves out. Because again, I don't get the impression they're focusing on brevity, because it quoted a number of words here. So what would a couple of words do to this? But look at the words they left out. "After you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." Look at what they left out. "Who called you to his eternal glory in Christ." Why in the world would they leave out this part of the verse? I am just baffled, but I am not getting surprised by this anymore. This is just becoming so common that it's getting offensive, to be quite honest with you, that the Watchtower is just leaving Christ intentionally out of the picture. And what I should be doing is I should be compiling all the times where the Watchtower quotes a verse. And they could leave out any number of things in the verse, but they choose to leave out Christ intentionally. They literally had to intentionally look at this verse and say, "Oh yeah, we're just going to leave out that part that says called you to his eternal glory in Christ. That's not important enough to mention." This should offend you if you're a Christian. It really, really should. You should be appalled by this. And it's, I'm trying to understand the mentality of a Jehovah's Witness, because it may just be that the writing department is so used to leaving Christ out of the picture that they don't even think twice about it. They can just, if you're watching this, look at this. So let's say I'm in the writing department. Oh, and I want to put in 1 Peter 5:10. I'm going to copy and paste this whole entire verse. You can see me highlighting this. I'm going to copy it and I'm going to paste it. And then I've got to delete. I've got to delete this part that says, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. I have to put in three dots. I have to do all this work to leave out Christ. Isn't that just amazing at what you have to do to leave Christ out of the picture? So this should tell you a lot about, quote-unquote, God's one true channel of communication. God's one true channel of communication is deliberately leaving Christ out of the picture. So that's all I have for this review today. But what we're going to do, hopefully this week, if I can find some time, is we're going to go over the March 2018 JW broadcast to where they continue to reinforce the authority of the governing body. And it is just... It is just, let's just say, interesting how they say that God in Christ trusts the governing body, therefore we should trust the governing body. And looking at the parallels that they make in Scripture to the governing body. So hopefully I have some time this week to get into this, because there's some very shocking things that are said, but they're nothing new. It's just something that we need to review because the Watchtower is continually enforcing the authority of the governing body. So I hope this review was helpful to you. If you have any questions or comments, please send them my way. And especially if you find this podcast helpful to you, if you're listening to this via iTunes, I would really, really appreciate you rating this or leaving a review, because that helps draw people to this podcast. So if you want this information to get out there, then please leave me a review in iTunes, and this podcast will be much more easily searchable when people are searching for a podcast of this type. So thanks again, and I will see you next time. For more information about Jehovah's Witnesses and other topics, please visit michaeljfelker.com. There you can also reach me directly to submit questions or comments to be covered on the JW Review. To subscribe to this podcast, please go to iTunes and search for the JW Review.